You're listening to Brandon's House here, the podcast. We are here on a Tuesday, September the 10th. I am with
Joe
and
Jacob.
All right, Joe and Jacob. When did you start watching wrestling?
When I was a little kid. It's been years.
And Jacob, when's the last time you watched Raw?
It's been a few weeks because of work. What about you, Brandon?
Well, I actually watched Raw last night. And, you know, it's got a good storyline going with the corporation, you know, Triple H and Randy Orton, Stephanie McMahon, you know, all saying, you know, Daniel Bryan cannot be the face of the WWE. Randy Orton is. But, you know, Joe, I know you've got something to say about you know, your favorite wrestler, I cannot think of his name right now at all, but the guy who, Santino Marella, beating Antonio Cesaro. What are your thoughts on that?
What a load of crap. That's all I can say, just a load of crap.
You know, and he had the biggest swing I ever seen in wrestling. The giant swing lasted, what, like 25 seconds? And the guy wasn't even dizzy. And I think a lot of that, you know, he pulled off the cobra from, you know, his hand and everything like that, threw it out of the ring. I think, you know, he knew that he had to lose against Santino Marella, but he was going to show the world how talented he was. I mean, he's a throwback, you know. He doesn't wear knee pads or elbow pads. He's a phenomenal wrestler. Used to hold the United States title. And, you know, as far as you know, as his talents go, he's really being held back. And Santino Marella, you know, he's a comedy figure. He might as well have lost to Sweet Tea and Brodus Clay, right?
Yeah, it'll be a couple more weeks, and I think he'll just be back to losing like he always has. They just had to give him a big hot return last night. It's the only thing I can figure.
Yeah, they probably just wanted him to do good to, you know, show the fans that he's back.
You know, one time they had him coming out there yodeling. It's like,
yeah, that's a load of crap.
I mean, if they would stop spending so much time on these promos, we could see Zack Ryder come out there or see one of these, you know, other guys who don't get the time of day, Tyson's kid. Yeah, but they're spending these time with the promos. They show three or four promos of what happened last week. So why did we watch last week? Because we could have watched everything, you know, last night.
Yeah, they need to spend less time, you know, doing crazy stuff and more time wrestling.
And it's all about storylines and soap operas and stuff like that. But I know storyline is good to have, but you know they need to manage their roster better because you know. As we were watching, you know, me and Joe were watching the CM Punk versus Stone Cold Steve Austin, their interview for WWE 13. Stone Cold said there's like three guys that are scratching and crawling their way up to the top, but in the Attitude Era, everybody was. Some guys just want to be on television, and that's all they want to do. They want to go in there, make their money, go in the ring, win or lose, and then they, you know, go home. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, things now, they're just, I don't know, it seems like it's a whole lot easier for somebody to become a wrestler now. It's like they can go learn four or five moves, and it seems like, hey, let's give this gimmick to him and put him on TV in a few weeks. And it's not like it was used to years ago. You had to work your way up. It just don't seem like it's, I don't know, I might be wrong, but it.
And the talented people lose.
Yeah, they're more after the character instead of the talent now.
It's almost like they just want to, you know, like Joe, you told me that the guy who's running the performance center used to be part of Ringo, what was that, Barnum Bailiff Circus.
Yeah, I seen that the other day. It was... they've hired somebody that used to work with the circus to run that now. It looked kind of, I don't know. Maybe he might be good at the job. I don't know. But that's just kind of ironic that they're bringing in somebody that ran a circus to run their, start building their town, to run their performance center.
I wonder if some of it has to do with creative because, you know, back in the day, back in Attitude Era, you know, you had a few guys running creative, but now you got people from Conan O'Brien, you got people from Hollywood all doing the storylines. You think that does make a difference in what you see on television?
Yeah, it's like they're after more of the entertainment, the whole wrestling aspect of it. I mean, they want to hire people to come in and work that seems like they don't know anything about wrestling. It seems like the more you know about wrestling, less of a chance that you got of working for them.
Well, it's like, you know, with a performance center, now you can just go there, be in the performance center, and, you know, they can watch you from Stamford, Connecticut, and it's a lot easier to get into the WWE, like you were saying, and a lot of guys like, you know, Daniel Bryan, he had to, you know, go to Armories and Wrestling Barnes and everything to get himself, you know, into the WWE. So That's a lot. What I'm thinking, you know, just a lot of the roster nowadays just doesn't want to, you know, like compete as well as the people did in the Attitude Era.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head a while ago when you said that that a lot of it, you know, now a lot of them just want the money for it. It's they don't put, you know, their heart and they don't have the talent to, you know, do the fans justice of what they're wanting to see, you know, true wrestling.
Now, on Raw, you remember, Joe, do you remember AJ Lee's, what she said to Jerry Lawler at the announce table?
Oh, yeah, what was it? It's like he was hitting on her or something, and she said she was 26 years old. She said, "I'm a little too old for you, Jerry."
Yeah, he said, "Well, no, you're a little too ugly," you know, just like because he came back and said something to her.
Put him in his place a little bit, I think.
Oh yeah, she said, you know, "I've main evented Raws," and he was like, and said, "You've main evented Raw," and he said, "Yeah." I've main evented three of them. Watch the program. Watch the program. Do you ever watch it? And, you know, right now, you know, she has that angle going after the Total Diva reality stars. Speaking of Total Divas, their show on E! Dropped to a series low in viewership. They scored a 1.091 on there, which is their lowest rating. And that's, they're just a smidge above what Impact gets every Thursday.
Wow. You'd think that people, you know, just being about the, you know, divas and stuff, that people would watch it.
It was going up in ratings, but, you know, this time it went way down. And then, you know, this Sunday is their series, mid-series finale.
Maybe people are just getting tired of the extra drama that goes with the wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, watching the Bella Twins and things like that is just kind of like watching, you know, the Kardashians or something, but with a wrestling mixed in, and a lot of people don't really want to watch that.
Yeah, it's a lot of us. It's turned into a lot of it's all just a soap opera now.
New matches have been announced for Night of Champions this coming Sunday. A little rundown of the card: Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan. Here's what I think is going to happen. Big Show has been coming out there crying that he doesn't want to hit Daniel Bryan, even though Triple H is like ordering him to and everything like that. What I think is going to happen is Daniel Bryan is about to beat Randy Orton, and Big Show turns on him and joins the corporation. And then they ended Monday Night Raw last night with Daniel Bryan getting one up on Randy Orton before the show goes off. And a lot of times when you're on the go home show and the person who's fighting in the match wins the go home show, he easily loses the pay per view. So it's just kind of the way they mix the Big Show in there makes me think that possibly the Big Show is going to turn on Daniel Bryan. What are your thoughts?
I definitely think something's going to happen because it's way too soon for Daniel Bryan to win yet, because this storyline, I think they're going to drag it out for at least a couple more months. And Big Show, well, you know how he's done before. He never does stay a face or a heel long either time, so it wouldn't surprise me a bit if he did turn.
You have any thoughts on that, Jacob?
I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. I think that I pretty much agree with you guys that, he just doesn't – I think the Big Show is going to turn too. I think they're going to hold this storyline out as long as they can because it's going to be a pretty interesting storyline.
And the world title match that's going down is Alberto Del Rio versus Rob Van Dam. And he has Ricardo Rodriguez, RVD does, in his corner, which is – I really don't understand why that – those two are mixed, together in this. But I think it's all really just serving the purpose for Ricardo Rodriguez to turn against Rob Van Dam and make Alberto Del Rio still retain his world championship title. Still retain his title. Do you think that maybe how it might go down, and that might be why they have this little weird pairing just so they could set up RVD to lose?
I think that sounds about right, something like they would do. Because, I mean, RVD's never really held a championship long or anything.
What do you think, Joe?
I think something's up because him and Ricardo Rodriguez, I mean, they just don't – why is either one of them with the other is what I keep asking. But
yeah, they're not your typical matchup.
No, it looks ridiculous to have them two together because they just didn't look like something that would happen. And, Ricardo Rodriguez is going to turn against RVD. The next match is CM Punk versus the Intercontinental Champion, Curtis Axel, with Paul Heyman in a handicap and elimination match. If Punk beats Axel first, he gets to face Heyman. Do you think at all that Heyman will get beat up at Night of Champions?
I mean, personally, I kind of hope he does. I've never been a Paul Heyman fan.
Not a Paul Heyman guy?
Yeah, I'm not a Paul Heyman guy. Never have been. So I'd like to see – I'm not a fan really of CM Punk either. I'd like to see him – but I'd like to see him win that.
You got any thoughts, Joe?
I think Heyman, I think he'll get out of it somehow or another. Right there at the very end, something will happen that he'll end up getting away. Brock Lesnar or somebody show up.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, there has been talk that, Heyman would join the new corporation. So it could all run down on CM Punk. Could add Curtis Axel and Paul Heyman to the corporation with Triple H and Randy Orton. They could almost do that with every title holder. Because the Shield holds the tag team and the U.S. title. The Intercontinentals with who has the Intercontinental?
Curtis Axel.
Oh, duh. So if Curtis Axel does Paul Heyman then both turn their back, then everybody who has the championships in the corporation. And it would kind of make sense because, Paul Heyman originally hired the Shield to take out John Cena for CM Punk to continue to win his have his long, long, long title reign. So it would be interesting if they could tie that story up somehow. The next match is the Divas title match, AJ Lee versus Natalya versus Brie Bella versus Naomi in a four-way match. Who do you think is going to be the winner of that one?
Better be AJ.
It should be AJ. some people I would hate to see Brie Bella or Naomi win it. Natalya, you know, is a rest, you know, has grew up with the Hart Foundation and all that.
I would kind of think it would be interesting to see Natalya win.
She never gets her due, ever.
That's true.
I mean, I think it was her birthday, and she was in Canada, and she lost to, like, one of the Bella twins.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, she's got more talent than the Bella twins do, that's for sure, especially as far as wrestling goes.
Oh, definitely.
So I would like to see her win. She, you know, she deserves a win, especially at a pay-per-view. That'd be cool to see.
And then they're going to have a pre-show match with the Primetime Players versus the Usos versus 3MB versus Tons of Funk versus the Real Americans, and a five-team tag team turmoil match to earn a tag title shot on pay-per-view, which will face the Shield. Who do you think will win the tag team turmoil match?
I'd like to see the Real Americans get back on TV more. I mean, I think either one of them, they should be going for bigger titles. But hey, if tag belts all they're going to let them be on TV for, I hope it's them.
Well, you know, right now it seems like there's kind of a push for the Primetime Players and the Usos from the WWE. I don't see 3MB winning at all. That would be a huge upset. Tons of Funk, I don't see winning either. So it would be either between the Real Americans, Primetime Players, or the Usos in this.
I hope the Real Americans get it.
It would be funny if Los Matadors made an appearance. The U.S. champion Dean Ambrose and the Intercontinental champion Curtis Axel are not going to be defending their titles on the all-title match pay-per-view, which is weird. So, and another thing is Dolph Ziggler. Man, he's been moved down the card, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's like he don't even exist anymore.
I mean, he did beat Bray Wyatt. Hey, no, wait, sorry, Bray Wyatt beat him. But you know, he goes from, you know, the world heavyweight champion all the way down to being beat by Bray Wyatt.
Wow.
Which, I mean, I think Bray Wyatt is his way, you know, the wrestler should be. He's really into his character when he comes out there. You can almost believe that he is the way he actually says he is in the ring, but of course he's not. But I think the wrestlers should have a lot more, you know, will be more into their personality than they are.
Yeah, that guy's definitely he's definitely a character.
Moving over to another subject, wrestling figures. Jacob, have you ever had a wrestling figure?
I actually have not.
Never have?
Never have.
Well, Joe...
I had a Diamond Dallas Page wrestling figure one time.
You did?
Yes, I did. I got it for, I believe, my 8th birthday.
Well, Joe, with Lex Luger, did you ever own any of his wrestling figures?
Yeah, I've got one. Like his, I think it was his first one that Galoob made.
Ah, that was his first one. You know, Jacob, Galoob is kind of like smaller version of LJN WWF wrestling superstars from a few years earlier. Each figure was solid and they didn't move.
Wow. Yeah, I've seen those like that before.
They had no articulation. One of the LJNs, I think he is the Ultimate Warrior. He's worth, what, $3,000, $4,000? Monk, if you ever find him.
Wow. I'd like to have one of those sitting around.
Yeah. It was like one of the very last, you know, LJN figures they made. I think it was in 1989. Well, Joe, you got anything that upset you from Raw that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I think we touched on it a little bit earlier. Santino beating Antonio Cesaro, that was that's just a bunch of crap. I mean, it's just hard to see. You got Antonio Cesaro. I mean, he can put on a match, a 30-minute match, a 5-star match, and you got Santino. He's, before he got hurt, you know, he was losing every match he was in, and all of a sudden he comes back and then he wins. But I get it. I mean, he's been out for a while, and they got to build him up and everything. But just like I said, it'll be a couple more weeks, and he'll be losing like before.
Yeah, to me, Santino Morello is always kind of a joke wrestler, I guess you could say, in the storyline, well, especially when he first came in.
I mean, it feels like he's part of the job squad. You know, like the rest, like some of the rest of them are.
Yeah.
Do you think WWE from Monday Night Raw has sold you on buying the Night of Champions pay-per-view?
I'll probably pass on this one because I just don't see anything big really happening yet. It's like the Daniel Bryan. I mean, he'll probably get close to winning, but he ain't going to win. I mean, they're going to drag it out probably, I think, a couple more months or so. Yeah. I'll just pass it up.
And, you know, Edge did a really good job on Raw as well.
Yeah, he's going to be on SmackDown, too.
Yeah, I wonder what's going to happen there. You know,
looks like they're writing out, I don't know, I'd read somewhere that Christian, he had a concussion or something, and so I looked for him to be out for a little while, and so, I mean, they brought him out on stage last night, so I think that's probably their way of writing him out. So Edge, he's, obviously he ain't gonna get in the ring and fight, but it is kind of interesting to see what he's going to do, though.
Right, and another thing that was weird is why did Curtis Axel come out there and get disqualified by repeatedly hitting Kofi Kingston in the corner of the ropes? Is he just trying to prove that he can beat up Punk? Because I don't really think he can beat up Punk. I mean, Curtis Axel, I mean, he has talent, and he may have a future in the business, but I don't think he's there yet.
No, definitely not. I think they're trying to make him look kind of like he's a loose cannon or something, and like Heyman can't control him or something. That's what I think they're going for right now.
Yeah, and that's more of Brock Lesnar's role. But, let's see, Alberto Del Rio versus R-Truth, you know, Monday. You know, when you see people fight like R-Truth, or you see, you know, if you see Santino come out, you automatically know that they're jobbing to this guy when they come out, so.
Oh, but there's always one kid in the crowd, though, that thinks R-Truth is going to win.
Yeah, like when Ryback comes out and they're chanting Goldberg, he thinks that might be Goldberg's middle, Ryback's middle, last name.
The casual fan.
Who loves John Cena.
There's nothing wrong with John Cena.
And I wonder, what would happen if John Cena was in the WWE right now? How would this be different?
It'd be all about him, of course.
But I wonder how they would work him into this corporation.
Oh, there's always room for John Cena. Of course, you know, he'd probably be totally against the corporation.
Well, I mean, if he was for it, then he would be heel, and that'd be what everybody wants him to turn into.
Yeah. And, yeah, nobody, I mean, John Cena's probably, it'll shock me if they ever do turn him heel.
Yeah, it took Hulk Hogan a long time to turn heel.
Yeah, that's true.
He did eventually. Man, it was years and years of it, though.
Yeah, like it, you know, John Cena, has he ever been heel?
No, well, he kind of played a little bit of a heel role once, you know, when he did the rapper.
Yeah, when he came out with the chains around his neck and stuff.
But I don't think he was really like a true heel.
Yeah, because, I mean, fans, since John Cena came in, I mean, he was just a fan favorite, especially for, like, the kids and,
you know. Women.
Yeah, kids and women. And me.
So why do you like John Cena so much?
I've just always liked his character. I thought he, you know, was funny, and I think he's got talent as a wrestler also. I think he kind of played, you know, character and wrestler pretty good.
Yeah, they say he only has three moves. Three moves of doom.
Yeah, I want to see if he's got a mean streak. I mean, I agree with Jacob. He seems like he's always been a good guy and everything, but I mean, he's always been like the Superman, the big, super nice guy and everything. Well, I don't know. I just think that character's run its course and he needs to just do something bad.
Yeah. Now, I agree. I think it would be cool to see him turn heel. You know, I think he would. I would like to see just how his fan base would change, as far as, you know, how many people, you know, just, you know, chant John, you know, chant for him. I'd just like to see the change in the fans if he went heel.
Oh, they definitely would change.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know what the five moves of doom are? He does the flying shoulder block, multiple clotheslines, side release, spin out slam, the five knuckle shuffle, then he hits you with the attitude adjustment. And Cena won. Cena wins.
Yeah, that's about true.
Or you kick out of the attitude adjustment, put on your finishing move that easily beats everybody else, but Super Cena comes to life and totally destroys you.
With the five moves. Again.
That's kind of what Hogan had. I mean, he had the boot to the face and then the leg drop.
Yeah, that's true.
And Batista had very limited move set as well.
And the Batista bomb would end it.
And I don't know. I mean, I know John Cena has a lot of work ethic. You know, he does a lot for the WWE and Make-A-Wish and all these different things. I'm not, you know, saying that he's a bad person or anything like that. He just, he needs to change in the fans' eyes, you know, a little bit before people really get behind him. Because, I mean, when he announced that he was going to be gone from the WWE for a little while, the whole crowd went, yes, yes, yes.
I think creative is afraid to turn him. I think they've gambled on it. They've thought about doing it a few times. Remember, like, a year or so ago, Kane was trying to bring out the bad side in him, and nothing ever come of that. It's like they've played with the idea, but it's like, almost like they're afraid to do it, afraid they're going to lose a...
Kind of like a game of cat and mouse.
Fan base or something.
Kind of like a game of cat and mouse. They you know, they'll play with it here and there, and it's about as far as it goes. I think they should take the gamble. I think they would be surprised with the outcome.
I mean, it made the New World Order a big, huge deal when Hogan turned.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that adults in the 80s feel the same way as adults do in the 2010s with about John Cena as they did Hulk Hogan? Was it all kids and women screaming for Hulk Hogan, or were the adults into Hulk Hogan too?
I know my dad was a big Hulk Hogan fan. You know, and he was probably back when he was big, he was probably about my age, 19, 20 years old.
Joe, you're big about the 80s. What do you think?
I think it's almost kind of hard to really compare them because you're in two different, I mean, the fan base then and now is totally different. I mean, and the way everybody even looks at wrestling, you've got social media that, I mean, there ain't nothing to surprise anything anymore. Everybody always knows everything. It's going to happen each week, whereas, you know, back in the 80s, I mean, it was really unpredictable back then. And it's, I don't know, I think, and you know how, like, there's a lot more shows now and everything, and John Cena, he's just been put in everybody's face for so much each year for so long. It's like everybody's just seen enough. And Hogan, I don't think I really don't think it was just a matter of them getting tired of Hogan. He just, what really slowed him up is he went to Hollywood. I mean, I think he wanted to start slowing up and get out of it, and like in the early 90s, and then he went to WCW, and when he turned heel, that totally reinvented his career. So, I mean, that it just changes with the times, I think. You can't really compare them.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that, and the way, you know, the show went and everything back, you know, in that era, the eras have just totally changed, and how the show goes totally changed.
Do you think that the product would be a whole lot better if we didn't have Twitter, Facebook, or even the internet?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, too much stuff gets leaked.
I mean, so here you are, you know, if say Monday Night Raw's coming on, you can't you got your VCR set to record it, or you got to be home to sit there and watch it. You don't know anything that's going to go on. You don't know anything about the wrestlers that are coming unless you know got some of the Torch's newsletters mailed to you. But I think it is true, because we know so much about the business that when we see someone coming out, we know that person is going to job to that person. Or we know behind the scenes, and it just hurts your views of the product a lot.
You know what's gonna happen before it happens, so you know it's not like it's not got the wow factor to you anymore.
No, and that's probably a lot to blame on the computer.
Yeah, definitely. I think it would be better without social media and the internet.
And back in the 80s, a lot of people still thought it was real. So if you could just, you know, make yourself believe for a minute there while you're watching wrestling, or suspend your disbelief while you watch wrestling for 3 hours and think it's real, it probably would add a lot of value to the product. I mean, you probably would get a lot more out of it if you thought that each match was actually real and everybody was taking real bumps and everything like that.
Yeah, that's a state of mind I try to get myself in each week. I mean, I'm sitting there watching. I know it's all staged and everything, but why sit there and watch it if you're just going to critique it to death? I mean, I want to sit there and just for a little while pretend it's real and just get into it. I mean, you have a whole lot more fun doing it like that.
Yeah, but then when you see Santino beat Antonio Cesaro, you know better.
It just don't make no sense.
I mean, they might as well had Hornswoggle come out there.
It's like the Hornswoggle versus Big Show and Hornswoggle winning.
I mean, we turned the television off, said, well, we're done with Raw, I see.
Yeah, that... Oh, it's just sad to see stuff like that, but you gotta satisfy the casual fan.
And let Great Khali win the WWE Championship. Let him be the face of the company.
Sounds like something they would try at one point.
Well, he was back whenever he first started, Khali. I mean, he was a big old bad dude when he first come there. I mean, he was whoop anybody he got in the ring with. Now he just gets out there and dances around, and just, I don't know. That's another one of them. They don't know what to do with him, I guess.
I remember when the Great Khali first started. I mean, he would, you know, he'd walk in the room and just, you know, hit people on the side of the head and the match would be over with.
It's almost like when they don't know what to do with you, go out there and dance.
That's about true. Or hug.
Well, at least they've stopped the hugging.
That is true. That was sad.
Yeah, Sanzai! Tensai. you know, come in there, be this big, you know, powerful guy from Japan where he spent a lot, you know, years critiquing his skill, and then all of a sudden, you know, now he's Sweet Tea on With Tons of Funk, dancing out there with Brutus Clay. It really, they need to fire all their Hollywood writers and their Conan and all this stuff and have people who like wrestling be the writers. Because I've even heard that people who are wrestling fans don't get hired over people who just wrote for some TV show in Hollywood. I mean, not saying that the Hollywood writers are bad, because, you know, a lot of it, they probably do sometimes have good ideas, but they're not what's best for business. So, you know,
I'd say let Brandon take over for a week.
They have like Triple H and stuff like that. They just didn't want to go with stuff. And I know Vince would be afraid, you know, to go with anything really good, because you never know, you might lose some sponsorships or something.
Yeah, he's in it for, you know, all the millions that he can get.
I mean, ever since they went to be a public company, they're not the same. Yeah, I wish they would get the WWF name back. Because, you know, they don't even, when you think of WWE, they never say World Wrestling Entertainment. They say WWE because, you know, I don't even think they want wrestling in there. I'm surprised that we still have WrestleMania. One day I think it'll be called Entertainment Mania or something. Just taking wrestling out of the picture. It seems like what Vince is doing.
Just make it World Entertainment, WWE.
Yeah. You know, but, you know, they do have people like Daniel Bryan, who comes out there, you know, says he is a wrestler and you're an entertainer to John Cena. And, so, I mean, of course they're writing that, so they know, but, you know, it came off for quite so many years about, you know, Vince McMahon. He said that he's not in, like he told Ted Turner, he's like, I'm not in the wrestling business. I'm in the entertainment business. Two totally different things.
Definitely. I think more of the entertainment side has taken over now, and it's just, it's ruined it for some people.
You know, in another thing we have talked about before is competition. They don't have any, really. They had WCW, you know, literally winning. You know, you never knew if WWF was going to go out of business, and then, you know, he had the Attitude Era and everything come on. He has no competition now. I mean, he may have, like, the NFL take away something from his, you know, ratings, his weekly ratings. But you don't, you know, TNA isn't nowhere near any type of competition to the WWE right now. So, I mean, definitely competition would help.
But there's no companies that can, you know, stand up against the WWE, because the WWE has so much money that they can, you know, put into it. TNA doesn't have the funds that the WWE has to go in competition.
So I wonder, like, if TNA was really going to try to beat the WWE, why don't they just be really anti-WWE? Why don't they just have something there that you can't find at the WWE? Why try to be WCW Lite, almost? One time they had the six-sided ring, and that was definitely different than the WWE.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it when they, you know, when they had the six-sided ring. That was, you know, I enjoyed watching it. I haven't watched TNA in a long time, though.
Yeah, they could have that. They could have, they do in MMA when a guy walks out. Tell about their stats. Tell how great they are when they're walking down the ring. Make that match, you know, where you're thinking, man, this is going to be a good match. Or have them talk about, you know, if this guy wins and he's going to have to face our world champion, I wonder if he'll beat that world champion. You know, like, really hype these guys out when they're coming to the ring. Maybe have the interviewer come out there and interview him after each match, you know, kind of like old school did. You know, be something completely different, or reinvent wrestling or something.
And just, you know, have true competition. Don't have one guy here that, you know has got talent and a good wrestler up against a guy that, you know, has no talent. He's an entertainer. And then the entertainer went up with the wrestler. That's just, it's crap.
See, TNA can't out WWE the WWE, so they got to go a different route. I mean, if you take the whole, PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 had great graphics. Mm-hmm. It had all these great things going for them. What did Nintendo do? They didn't go after the great graphics or anything. They reinvented how you played the game. And, you know, it made them huge for a little while. It made them the number one, you know, video game system. So a lot of things I think TNA has to do is just reinvent how wrestling's done, reinvent, you know, everything.
You know, the biggest thing might be that they're afraid that if they do take that route, that, you know, maybe it'll be popular for a couple of years and then it just go under, which has happened in the past with other companies.
You know, TNA, you know, is in a position that it could change itself, though, because, I mean, you know, you're just popping 1.0 ratings, 0.97 ratings, and, you know, Dixie Carter has said, you know, they want to beat the WWE, and the only way you're going to beat them is offer something totally different for fans to watch, because, you know, if you said that you're going to launch a new show and it's going to be on Spike TV and it's going to be full of independent wrestlers and stuff like that, and it's going to be a big production, you know, people will be really excited about that. But if you say, you know, watch TNA next week on Impact, only, you know, 0.96 people are going to watch it.
Right.
So, I mean, how are you ever, during the Attitude Era, I mean, Raw used to pull like 6.0 ratings sometimes. And now they've dropped it down, you know, 2.8, 2.7, 2.6. I've seen them hit 2.5s. It's just an entirely different world that we're in for wrestling.
It's definitely a hard industry to get ahead of the WWE. WWE definitely has, almost monopoly over it.
Yeah. Well, that's just why you need to reinvent it.
I agree with that.
That's the only way you're going to beat them. Now, they do have a billion-dollar company backing them, Panda Energy.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, they're not going to throw all their money like Ted Turner did at them.
Right.
And make it that way because, you know, WWE has gone pretty far.
Oh, yeah. They've had a lot of money. There's been a lot of money spent to make the WWE what it is today.
Your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, for them to beat WWE, they're going to have to, I mean, it can't be done overnight because WWE, I mean, they've been growing for like the past, well, whenever Vince McMahon took over from his dad, you know, I mean, that's 30-something years he's got in this. I mean, for any company to come along now and get ahead of them, I mean, it's just almost impossible.
But you can never say never. That'd be because, you know, who would have ever thought, you know, back in the 90s that, you know, WWF and WCW would be going head to head at each other in a huge Monday Night War. So, I mean, 5 or 6 years down the road, you know, TNA and WWE could be going up against each other. It might not even be TNA. It might be something else.
It's gonna take a lot, it's gonna take a lot of work, like Joe said. It's not gonna happen overnight. It'll probably be a couple of years at least down the road.
And by then, that company might be out of money. I mean, it's
true.
You're gonna have to have a lot of money and a real good idea to even get WWE scared.
Yep.
Are you What are you guys' favorite wrestler of the 80s?
Ultimate Warrior, of course.
You, and Jacob?
You know, I liked Hulk Hogan and I liked Ultimate Warrior, so one of those two.
You ever see Ultimate Warrior ever stepping back in the ring?
No, I don't see that happening.
I think he's pretty content staying out of it, but who knows? Never say never.
Well, you may see him in the Hall of Fame eventually.
You know, I'm surprised he's not already in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I think it's a lot to do with Vince and his history.
That could be true.
Apparently, they don't let their grudges down well enough. But you know, Ultimate Warrior is in the new WWE 2K14 game, so you could relive out the Ultimate Warrior in the current era on there.
Speaking of that, I got to pre-order that.
Yeah, if you pre-order it, you get Ultimate Warrior.
That almost might make it worth pre-ordering.
Right. You know, when Ultimate Warrior came back in WCW as the One Warrior Nation, which was NWO spelled backwards, some people have seen that as a big flop. What was your thoughts on that, Joe, since he's one of your favorite wrestlers?
By that time there, I mean, I think he was just wanting out of the business by that time, and he was just trying to revive it or whatever. I mean, he had done burn his bridges with McMahon several times, and I mean, it just didn't seem like there was really a place for him in WWF no more. And then WCW, obviously, they wasn't going to know what to do with him. I mean, they were already on their, I guess you could say, downward spiral then. So I don't know. I think by then, I mean that was what, 98 or 99. I mean, he was, I don't know, it just bad timing for both of them.
Yeah, it was bad time for a failed attempt.
And the Ultimate Warrior was,
I mean, that was a time, you know, everybody was, I mean, that's like the Attitude Era and everything. Everybody was into Stone Cold and Goldberg and really just Ultimate Warrior. I mean, that just, at the time, I don't think it really fit into the time frame, I don't guess. It's like it almost run its course for that moment, where now all of a sudden everybody's warrior crazy again. I mean, I think it had just been so much had already happened, and I think it's just everybody had almost given up on him.
You know, and he used to appear in all the smoke in the ring and come through a trap door through the ring in WCW. And then when the smoke would hit, it would knock all the New World Order members out. It was definitely crazy. And then Warrior announced his retirement. Of course, he didn't retire. He went to something called New Wrestling Evolution in 2008. And now he's back with the WWE.
You know, it'd probably be pretty interesting to see him step back in the ring.
Yeah, and the Warrior is in Mattel figure lines as well. I think he has two basics. He's had a defining moment. He has Legend Series 4 and Legend Series 6. A lot of different Ultimate Warriors out there for you to collect, Joe.
Yeah, I've got three of them. I've got two more I'm wanting to get that Mattel made.
It'd be cool if it came with a rocket ship.
Go Gogan.
Maybe he'd have look at me. Maybe he'd have Ultimate Warrior and the Hulk or Coke Hogan with the rocket ship.
I could see Joe having that.
You know, did the Ultimate Warrior ever fight Sting?
I don't think they did, but
that would be a match.
Believe it or not, they were when they both of them started. They were actually a tag team.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I thought that they were allies at one time.
Before either one of them hit it big, they were a tag team in Memphis, I believe. USWA.
who was Dean Ambrose related to again?
Dean Ambrose.
Was it Roman Reigns or was it Seth Rollins? Who was someone of them were related to somebody?
Roman Reigns, he's a member of you know that family that The Rock is in, and you know all of them, the Usos and Rikishi. Roman Reigns, he's I forget what he is. I don't know. I might have to go back and look on that. He's related to him somehow.
Are you looking forward to when the Shield actually does split up and they go on their own runs?
Probably turn them into jobbers.
I hope not. Those guys really do have a lot of talent, but, you know, something to be afraid of because WWE doesn't know what to do with people.
Make them jobbers. They know how to do that pretty good.
Right. Well, one of them should shine. Maybe Roman Reigns will come out and have Roman Reigns versus John Cena once in a lifetime.
John Cena would win.
Probably. It would be interesting if John Cena came out and caused Daniel Bryan to lose the match at Night of Champions.
That would be an up. That would, you know, that's kind of.
But that would make you think he's turning heel.
Yeah, I don't think the WWE is ever going to turn John Cena heel. If they do, it'll be a while. I just don't see him doing it.
It'll probably eventually happen.
Yeah. I just don't see it happen anytime soon, unfortunately.
And everybody usually looks for it to happen around WrestleMania. Which I wonder what we're going to get for WrestleMania this year. What do you think Cody Rhodes is going to come back as?
I think he's going to come back through the crowd and torment Triple H.
Mess up the show.
Yeah.
I think he'll be face this time. I think he's going to play the crowd this time.
You know, he was fired on air for not being able to beat Randy Orton because he made a comment about how Triple H was running the show. Then, you know, it's pretty sad to see, you know, Goldust, he went in there and he wrestled like he always has, facing Randy Orton on Raw last night. And, you know, it makes you think, you know, Goldust could actually be on the roster, but he lost. Stephanie McMahon, said some, you know, bad things to him, and then he just walked away, and that was it. It was kind of weird because you saw it happen with Edge, too. Triple H said, "Get out of my arena," and you never saw Edge again. Kind of weird how they wrote him off of Raw so easily there.
It's almost to the point that maybe they don't even care how they write people off.
Yeah, they definitely leave a lot of holes in the storylines.
Yeah, where's the higher power that Nexus was operating off? Remember they used to say that all the time? We're working for a higher power?
Yeah. Or the anonymous Raw general manager.
Who turned out to be Hornswoggle, which I'm sure was not the original idea. That was supposed to make everybody laugh, and, you know, when they saw that, but it just made people shake their head.
Yeah, that was kind of shameful.
It's like sometimes you wonder, why in the world do we treat wrestling so seriously sometimes? Because, and then sometimes they'll come in with a huge angle that you've been waiting on. Like this corporation angle. I mean, if they do it right, they can do it really well. But they're coming off as destroying the entire roster because they can't do anything. And we're just waiting for the first person to step up and do something.
You know, that's always kind of been Triple H's angle, you know. Get a big tag team together and just, you know, go around kicking everybody's butt, basically. He's always liked being able to do that.
What do you see happening to take the corporation down, Joe? You think Stone Cold's going to come out and stun everybody?
I would like to see him make an appearance. I don't really know what they're going to... I don't know if they're going to have Daniel Bryan do it by himself eventually, or if they're going to give him some help, or I don't know. It's, I mean, just like you said, they've got a chance to have a real good, interesting story if they just play it right. I mean, me, myself, I don't really want to know what they're going to do until it actually happens. I mean, that makes it all worth watching it. But I don't know. I just don't see where they're going with it right now.
Although, if they make it go all the way to Royal Rumble, do you see them having us watch all these shows and watching all these pay-per-views just to see and paying all this money out just to see Daniel Bryan get beat every time? And something eventually has to happen soon, or people are just going to lose the interest in it. You can't have every Raw Daniel Bryan getting beat down.
No, they got to seesaw it back and forth. I mean, if, like you said, they keep keeping it one-sided, people just won't watch it.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how you know, their angle on keeping people interested in it. I think this is definitely, you know, the making for a really good storyline.
You know, if you see any breakout stars coming from this at all?
I think it definitely helped Cody Rhodes out for when he does come back.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, they're playing it right by doing this too, because, you know, before when CM Punk, you know, went away, he went away for, what, like two or three weeks, and they brought him right back. If they'd have kept him away for so long, boy, it'd have been red hot when he came back. You know, when he won the title in Chicago?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's good that they're not just throwing Cody Rhodes back in there, but, I mean, we've only been, what, a week away from it now. So, you never know, but, you know, as long as they keep him, they can't keep him away too long, but I'm sure when he comes back, it'll be a huge pop, depending on what they do with him. As long as just one day he doesn't just show up mysteriously on Superstars.
Yeah.
Especially with Kane. I wonder, you know, everybody's saying, where's Kane at? I mean, is he actually going to come back as part of the Wyatt family? I mean, what is going to happen there?
Makes you wonder if that part of the story is even road, or if they're just sitting back right now wondering, what do we do now?
Well, everybody, we have hit the 1 hour mark on our podcast, and that means that we are done. I do thank you, Jacob, for joining us.
It was good to be here.
Jacob, do you have any thing you want to plug?
Nope.
And Joe, do you got anything else to add to this?
Keep buying figures.
Go to BrandonTopsHere.com.
Yep, go to BrandonTopsHere.com. And thank you all for joining me. This has been fun, and hopefully we'll see you all next Tuesday. Signing out.
Thank you for listening to BrandonTopsHere.com podcast. Remember to check us out at www.BrandonTopsHere.com.
Are we still talking, stupid? All right.